This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Somebody's mad at libertarians. We'll talk about that. The midterm elections. Can we mitigate possible losses? DOJ indictments for fraud. These Medal of Honor guys, why are they always going back for more ammo? All that and more coming up in the second hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's begin here because Rand Paul was in the news a bit this week because of his back and forth with Mark Wayne Mullen. Mark Wayne Mullen, you know, United States Senator from Oklahoma. Trump wants him to be the new head of DHS. But Mark Wayne Mullen had previously trashed Rand Paul to the media after Rand Paul got his ribs broken by a dirty commie. Rand Paul clearly didn't take too kindly to that public statement, and it didn't go that well, right?
You told the media that I was a freaking snake and that you completely understood why I had been assaulted. I was shocked that you would justify and celebrate this violent assault that caused me so much pain and my family so much pain. I just wonder if someone who applauds violence against their political opponents is the right person to lead an agency that has struggled to accept limits to the proper use of force. You went on to brag that you'd already told me to my face that you completely understood and approved of the assault. Well, that's a lie. You got a chance today. You can either continue to lie or you can correct the record. You have never had the courage to look me in the eye and tell me that the assault was justified. So today you'll have your chance.
Well, here's the current situation. Mark Wayne Mullen is Trump's pick to head DHS. People want whoever Trump wants to head DHS because people like you and me, they want mass deportations and border security, so we want someone to head DHS to get these people out of the country. Rand Paul crucifies him publicly at the hearing. Rand Paul is a Republican. And so, well, this email says, Jesse, I would probably consider myself a libertarian in the sense that I want all government to be as small as possible. With that said, every single libertarian elected in Congress is absolutely insufferable and just ends up siding with the left when we need them most. Why? What is wrong with libertarianism that leads to this? Says I can say his name. His name is Chris. All right. So I'll come back to the libertarianism part of this in a moment. But I want to touch on something else that we've talked about before, but it is really, really, really important to remember, right? And some of this is going to be hard to hear and will probably make you mad. Too bad, so sad, don't care if it does, right? We are tribal. You know that? We've talked about it. Human beings are all tribal. We will seek out a group. It's human nature. We do it for protection, for prosperity, for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's your political party. Maybe it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. You will seek out a tribe. Tried and true loners who don't really want to be part of any group, very rare. You know how antisocial Chris accuses me of being. And you know what a loner I really genuinely am. I just would prefer to be home with a book or a documentary. That's who I am. I'm tribal too. I love you. I like having people who share my values, people I can joke with and laugh with, and people I feel like who are behind me. As a loner, I am the loner. I'm tribal too. We're all tribal. So here's what we forget though. When we cast someone out of our tribe, or we make somebody feel like an outcast in our tribe, what we want is let's say we're an Indian tribe, we're a little Comanche tribe, right? We're a Comanche tribe, and there's some dude who ticks us off for some reason. He's making us angry. We don't like him. What do we want to do? We want to cast him out. Understandably, we don't want this guy. He's causing trouble for the tribe. We want to cast him out. Now, part of the idea of casting him out of the tribe is punishment for him. That it's not just to save the tribe. We want him to hurt because of what he did to us. I want him to be alone. You are out of the tribe. Get lost. You're on your own. It's a punishment thing, right? Get out. But what happens inevitably is he's going to find a new tribe. And maybe that tribe will be a tribe that you were at war with. And then we're looking and we're all, well, wait a minute. No, you're supposed to be an outcast. You're not supposed to find a new tribe. But when you cast someone out of your tribe and treat them as the enemy, as an outcast, don't be surprised when they end up acting like the enemy. You want an example? Speaking of all this libertarian stuff, I told you I was going to make you mad. And I'm not even taking sides in this. I'm really genuinely not. Don't know either of them. Donald Trump and Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie's one of these libertarian types from Kentucky. Thomas Massie's always opposed big spending bills. He's a big spending hawk. That's his thing. Sometimes you love that. Sometimes you hate it. Thomas Massie came out publicly and loudly opposed Trump's big, beautiful bill. That bill they went through that funded DHS and all kinds of stuff. Most people wanted it because they wanted deportations. But admittedly, there was all kinds of bad crap in there. All kinds of bad crap in there. Trump was scrambling to cobble together every vote. Also understandable. That had his agenda in there. Thomas Massie came out and said, nah, I'm a no. I don't like it. How did Trump handle it? Well, Donald Trump went so far as to insult Thomas Massie's new wife. Thomas Massie's wife died. Thomas Massie remarried. Trump went to social media and took it so far that he mentioned Massie's new wife. Now, Massie regularly sides with the communists. He sided with the communists in the Epstein stuff, clearly trying to make Trump look bad. And we're looking at Massie and we're saying, look at this traitor. He's siding with the communists. What is he doing? How could he side with the communists? When you treat someone like an enemy, don't be surprised when they act like the enemy. It could have been handled differently on all sides. Again, I'm not taking sides, not taking Massie's side or Trump's side. But I watched it happen. I watched it happen because, of course, it had to play out publicly. These two grown men couldn't just get together and have a Diet Coke and talk about things or maybe even disagree. They had to go on social media and start crucifying each other publicly. This guy's idiot wife. Well, you start doing that. Congratulations. You've made an enemy for life. Well, he shouldn't. He should be a big... He should... Okay, I understand that. I'm describing human nature for you. It's human nature. You cast somebody out of your tribe. He's going to find another one. And oftentimes, he will find open, welcoming arms in the tribe that is at war with you. This is not me saying don't ever cast somebody out of your tribe. That's not me saying that, so don't interpret it that way. But it is me letting you know you better anticipate that coming on the back end. You want to cast someone out of your tribe. He's off the softball team. We're tired of him showing up drunk. You show up next Saturday, and he's playing for the opposite team, hitting home runs. Look at this traitor. I can't believe he's playing for them. Human beings are going to find a tribe. All of them will. Every time. It's human nature. So when you cast someone out, you have to do so with the full knowledge they're going to find a new tribe and they're going to make war on you. Donald Trump disagreed with Thomas Massie's stance on the big, beautiful bill. Totally get it. Trump thought that was his chance for his agenda. Totally get it. Trump went to social media, promised Thomas Massie he was going to primary him, and then insulted his wife. Now Thomas Massie spends most of his time trying to torpedo Trump's administration. Sorry. That's what happens. You took it public. Now it's public. Now we'll come back to libertarians. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, churning through everything here. So for one final question on this, the libertarians in general, I just addressed the public enemy things and things like that. But also, libertarians are correct about so many things. So many things. And by the way, libertarians run the spectrum too. There are border hawk libertarians, right? But in general, if we have to kind of just judge people by one big group, libertarians are correct about so many things. Now picture this. Sounds like I'm defending them because I am. Now picture this. You are correct on so many things, and yet you never really get representation in the government, ever. Nobody ever advocates for you, ever, for the things you want. They tend to get snotty about that. When I was running for Congress, this is an actual conversation I had. When I was running for Congress, now I have a lot of libertarian leanings. I don't think I would describe myself as one, but maybe in some way I am. I don't know. But when I was running for Congress, you always had to go out and do these political events. And this was the era of the Tea Party. So there were big right-wing political events. You know, it's not just everything was the Rotary Club or the county fair. You're out there with a lot of people who you would consider to be like-minded people. And I would go out to these events and people would disagree with me on this or that. And people would agree with me on this or that. It was wonderful. And we'd talk and it was fine. But there was nobody on the campaign trail, including the communists, who treated me with the disrespect and disdain that libertarians did sometimes. And it took me back because I was so libertarian on some things. I actually met with the local Libertarian Party in Tucson, the leaders of the local Libertarian Party, and they walked away blown away, impressed. They're like, okay, he wants to completely eliminate like every federal department and things like that. This is wonderful. So I just naturally assumed there would be a good alliance there. I mean, I'm a big-time small government. Take a battle axe to the whole friggin' thing. And yet, not all of them, by the way. Oftentimes on the campaign trail, I was stunned by how just awful and disrespectful and snotty and horrid they were. Horrid. Okay. So I meet with my campaign consultant. Because I was new to politics. I was just running for office because I was mad. But he'd been one of these guys who'd been around politics forever. And I said, can you explain this to me? I align with these people on so many things, and yet they're just terrible to me sometimes. And he said, well, they think they're right. It really comes down to that. They're sure they're right. They're sure you're evil. And it comes out of them. If you saw some snot-nosed 22-year-old with those big wire-rimmed Dork glasses marching up to you in a Ron Paul shirt, and I love Ron Paul, marching up to you in a Ron Paul shirt at a tea party, you know you were about to deal with the most ill-mannered little snot you've talked to in your entire life. It was everything I could do not to punch his teeth right out of his face every time. What, Chris? Chris said, were the mean ones ignorant or they just didn't know? Honestly, no, they were mostly quite intelligent. And really had some smart points. That was the point. We could have sat and had a wonderful disagreement and possibly came to an agreement because they were really smart, oftentimes really, really well-read, and were just horrid. You can't imagine it. All right, now I wanted to talk about this. Wouldn't insurance, this is an email, Jesse, wouldn't insurance against a midterm massacre be to get the vote out? Trump won by getting enough votes to overwhelm the cheaters. Can't we overwhelm the independents? All right, so he wrote this in response to the polling we're seeing out there that's bad. All the polling is consistent. So here's the status in case you haven't been listening. The MAGA faithful, the hardcore Trump people, the three-time Trump voter, they have not gone anywhere. Trump will never lose them. That's probably you. I'm a three-time Trump voter. If he was up for election again tomorrow, I would vote for him. He's not lost me. He's not going to lose you. Okay, let's set that aside. We're not talking about you or me. But Trump is not president. Trump won the presidency three times, not because of you or me. We helped, don't get me wrong. Trump won the presidency three times because wishy-washy, blow-in-the-wind independents voted for him over the Democrat. Three times. Those people, the blow-in-the-wind people, they're who we've lost. It's bad. How bad? This bad.
Yeah, what about independence? You think this 41 points below water is bad? Take a look at independence. It's even worse. I mean, 60 points underwater when it comes to Trump and the cost of living among independents. Again, a record low. You go back to October of 2024. He was winning on this issue over Kamala Harris by 11 points. Look at that switcheroo. That is a 71-point switcheroo in the wrong direction for Donald Trump when we're coming to the cost of living and independence. And this, my dear friends, is just a political nightmare waiting to happen.
Cut. All right. Again, we have a while till November. Don't panic yet. But if those are the numbers in November, whew, just hide under your bed that night and don't watch the returns because it's going to be ugly. We're talking feminist level ugly. It's going to be really, really, really bad. So the email said, well, can't we just get out the vote enough to overwhelm that? Well, set aside the cheater stuff because that's something that's kind of outside of your control or my control. Can't we just work harder to overwhelm those independents who are gonna lose for the midterms because they're mad about the cost of living and Iran and things like that? Can we just get out the vote? Yes and no. The answer I give is not going to be mealy-mouthed. I'll explain in a moment. The reason it's not going to be mealy-mouthed is because I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. The result of that is my energy is incredible. My mood is incredible. I have so much testosterone that it's coming out of my pores. It's probably why I lost all my hair. But it's also why I'm not afraid to take stances on things. It's also why my mind works. You see, you need testosterone for logical thinking, and we're losing 1% of our testosterone every single day. Well, every single year. 50% in 50 years, gone. We have to reverse that, and we have to do it naturally. You should be feeling better than you do, more energy. You should be ready to go at all times, and Chalk can do that for you. I don't care. Well, I'm 70. I don't care. I've got emails from 70-year-olds. Go to Chalk.com, Chalk.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get a discount on a subscription. Enjoy yourself. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Back to this one. Jesse, wouldn't insurance against the midterm massacres be to get out the vote? Trump won by getting enough votes to overwhelm the cheaters. Can't we overwhelm the independents? So on and so forth. All right, just really quickly. Remember I told you I wasn't here on Monday because I was in the hospital, the emergency room to be specific. It was not for me. It was somebody close to me. That's all I can say at this time. All right. It was someone close to me. It was serious. However, that person is already on the road to recovery, at least in part, because that person works out 5 or 6 days a week. Okay? Stop. Let's rewind. My father, who you know I lost not last year, but at the end of the year before, about a little more than a year ago, I lost my father. Well, what I may have never told you, I may have, was 10 years ago. That's not an accurate number, but it's probably pretty close. 10, 15 years ago, my father was walking up a hill in Montana. He was ranching at this time. He was walking up a hill in Montana. My dad was a big outdoorsman, always active. He's not one of these sit-around types. Just couldn't catch his breath. No big deal. Gets off the mountain, goes to see the doctor. My father required a quadruple bypass and had had a heart attack on that mountain. Walked off the mountain. The doctors expressed to him over and over and over again that you're in such great shape, and that's probably why you're alive today. And his recovery was so much better. Now, what does any of this have to do with politics and things like that? Well, being in great shape, exercising regularly, it may not prevent that heart attack or that pneumonia or whatever else may come your way. It may not prevent that at all. But two things. You will never regret being in great shape, and it might take something that would normally be fatal and make it something you can survive if you are in great shape. When it comes to the midterm elections, maybe if prices are still high, if we're still in Iran, maybe we are on pace for a slaughter where Democrats will wipe us out in the midterms. That may be the case. But here's what I know. If we continue to work hard messaging to friends and family, we become activists, we get involved in campaigns, local campaigns, state campaigns, national campaigns, we contribute. Maybe what would be a fatal heart attack in November will instead be some losses, a loss, a painful night. But how many of these elections do you see come down to a few thousand votes here, a few hundred votes there? What could be a fatal heart attack on the side of a mountain might be, let's get you in for a surgery, you'll be back on your feet in a couple months, if we put in the work now. And just like getting in shape, there's never going to come a time where we put in the work and we worked hard and we grinded for it, and then we wake up and say, man, I wished I hadn't done that. Dang it. I got too involved. I worked too hard on this cause or for this candidate. I wish I'd never done it. Nobody has ever said that who got in shape. Dang, this was a mistake. No matter what comes, wonderful times, a wonderful November, or a complete bloodbath, we will be better off if we get involved and stay involved. And when you continue to hear numbers like this, I will reinforce this point. Getting involved flat out makes you feel better.
Yeah, what about independence? You think this 41 points below water is bad? Take a look at independence. It's even worse. I mean, 60 points underwater when it comes to Trump and the cost of living among independents. Again, a record low. You go back to October of 2020.
We're all going to die. Maybe. Maybe not. But if we get involved and we stay involved, we can maybe mitigate those losses. Dr. Jesse, a number of times during your Medal of Honor citations, the write-ups mentioned that a particular recipient was in combat, would take out a bunch of armed enemy soldiers, but then run out of ammo, at which point he'd run back to his post to get more. Please forgive me, I am not military, but this doesn't make sense. If the guy just killed a bunch of enemy soldiers who all had guns and ammo, why wouldn't he just reach down and use their guns versus risking his life to run back and get more ammo? You don't have to ask forgiveness. That's an extremely valid question. And a couple things on that question. One, sometimes they do. That has happened. We, on occasion in Iraq, carried AK-47s off of dead people. It was kind of more of a novelty thing. To be honest, I didn't like it as much as ours. So, look, the novelty of it wore off. Ooh, this is dangerous. And there were no rules. I just hit the microphone, Chris. Sorry about that. There were no rules when I was there, so they let us really do whatever we wanted. So, okay, hey, let's pick up an AK-47. But you know one of the reasons we stopped using it? It's not just that the novelty wore off. I hadn't trained all that time with that weapon. When you're in the infantry, especially Marine Corps infantry, which is supreme to all other infantries, stop. You train with your weapon all the time. All the time. You are always training with it, moving with it, shooting, dry fire, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That crap you see in the movies of people assembling and disassembling their rifle blindfolded, we used to do that. Did you know there was a time in my life where I could do that? I don't think I could do that anymore. I could probably come close, maybe. I'm not sure. But there was a time when I could do that. Isn't that cool? Well, why?
Because I was so tough.
No, we trained. It's just about training. Remember that great line from the movie Man on Fire? There's no such thing as tough. There's trained and untrained. We trained with them all the freaking time. All the time. When you're out in the field, you sleep with it. Do you realize you don't go throw your weapons in a big pile and everyone crawls into bed? No. It's with you all the time, even in completely safe places like you're back on base. Nope, inside your sleeping bag. We had guys, myself included, who used to tie them to our arms in case someone would sneak in and try to take it off. Because if you got your weapon stolen, you're going to sweat the next day. I haven't trained with that AK-47 sitting on the ground. Yeah, I can charge it, put a round in the chamber. I can put a round in the chamber. I can take safety off. I can squeeze the trigger. Maybe even hit something with it. It's not like I'm a novice. I've trained with weapons. But if I'm in a life or death situation with my adrenaline pumping so much, I can hear my heartbeat in my ears. My friends are all dead. I'm hurting. I'm bleeding. This and that. That is not time to learn a new weapon. That is the time to operate the weapon you know how to operate. Men did pick up enemy weapons on occasion, but there's nothing like your baby. There's nothing like your weapon. You know it front to back. And in moments where your life depends on it, that's kind of important. All right. We have more. This fraud. What's going on at the DOJ? Next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Bronco, I have a few questions. Since these politicians are clearly involved in blue state fraud, why isn't the DOJ indicting them as co-conspirators? Pause. You don't know that they aren't, and neither do I. There's something that happens to all of us, me too, because we only know what we know. And we only sometimes see certain professions and certain walks of life through a lens that may not be accurate. Oftentimes your lens is television, a movie or TV, or maybe it's even a book. Law enforcement, law and order. You know, the television show Law and Order. I've seen a couple episodes. I was never a big TV guy, but I know what it is. An episode of Law and Order was an hour. And in an hour-long span, they would see a crime, cops would get involved, arrest a bad guy gets to trial, bad guy gets convicted, goes to prison. With commercial breaks, that's about 42 minutes of television. Anybody who's ever been involved in the legal profession knows the distance from crime to him going to prison is about 10,000 miles. It's a long time. A long time. Chris just said a simple assault case can take 5 years. Oh, you can't imagine. You can't imagine. Now, let's go up with what Jewish producer Chris just said. That's me. I get mad at that libertarian who came up to me and I punch his teeth out of his face and I do it on camera. It's probably 2 or 3 years before I stand trial. That's when the trial starts. Then I have to get convicted, which I probably would. Then they have to figure out sentencing. It's if I go to jail, it'd be years. That, now, that's a simple assault case. Me, punch, face. Simple assault case. Now, let's go to a case of, for instance, you brought up fraud. Fraud committed at least not just by foreigners and criminals here in America, but with the knowledge of American politicians, possibly the participation of American politicians. So now you have parts of the system that are dedicated to covering it up. In fact, their freedom, their livelihoods depend on covering it up. They have to throw every roadblock in front of it they can. That's not a defense of lack of indictments, not at all, but we want legal things wrapped up in 42 minutes like an episode of Law and Order, and that's not how it works, and it's definitely not how it works when it comes to cases of conspiracy, fraud, these kinds of things, because there are so many different tentacles and parts of the story. If you ever nerd out on organized crime stuff or mafia stuff or any of that stuff, as I do, as you know, if you go deeper than watching Goodfellas, which there's nothing wrong with watching Goodfellas, but if you go deeper than that and actually read the books and things like that about it, the amount of time it takes to bring these people down. John Gotti was the head of the Gambino crime family. This was widely known. Everyone in law enforcement knew it. John Gotti was a murderer. Widely known. Everyone in law enforcement knew it. Everyone in law enforcement knew he killed Paul Castellano, the former head of the Gambino crime family. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew. Everybody knew he had done beep, beep, beep. Everybody knew. And it took multiple trials. I want to say Netflix, but I'm not sure about that. So if I'm wrong about that, I'm sorry. I think it's called Get Gotti, Chris. Get Gotti, G-O-T-T-I. Chris, I know you don't know how to spell. All right, I know you don't know how to spell. Jewish producer Chris is looking it up right now. But if you're interested in what Chris said Netflix. Okay, there you go. If you're interested in what I'm talking about, you don't feel like reading about it. Plus, it's mafia stuff. Everyone finds it interesting. And I believe it might have been appropriate for kids. Don't quote me on that, okay? Go watch Get Gotti. Now, I knew about the John Gotti story. But the amount of hours law enforcement had to take, days, years, trials, failure, mistrial, acquittal, over. And this is a guy everybody knew. Everyone knew. There was no mystery in it. Gotti practically bragged about it on camera. Yeah, I'm a mobster. Look at me. And they still couldn't convict him. That doesn't mean take the pressure off the DOJ. That doesn't mean Pam Bondi's doing a great job. But I know this. I know this. The Trump DOJ, they are looking into the rampant corruption in Democrat states. You know how I know it for a fact? Not just that they've announced it. Donald Trump put J.D. Vance in charge of it. So let's talk about the politics of this. Why would you, as Donald Trump, make J.D. Vance the face of a corruption probe? Why would you do it? Here's why you would do it. You would assume that J.D. Vance is the heir apparent to Trump. And as of right now, he's the odds-on favorite. And you would only give him that role, the face of it, if you thought he was going to notch a political win out of it. You would never hand that role to someone you like, J.D. Vance. You would never hand that role to someone you like if you didn't think he was going to look like a star at some point in time. Remember the opposite of that? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Biden and Dome, they hated each other. Their camps hated each other. And Joe Biden was starting to get crucified on the border. And so he said, hey, Kamala, you're the border czar now. Well, that was intended. It was widely known in politics. That was intended to make Dome look bad because she wasn't going to secure the border. All that moron could do was go blame it on climate change. She didn't do anything and she ended up looking worse. And it allowed Joe Biden the out of always saying, hey, don't ask me, talk to Dome. But Trump and J.D. Vance are close. And we know that Trump thinks highly of J.D. Vance. Donald Trump would only give him that role, and J.D. Vance, who wants to be president, would only accept that role if he thinks there's going to be a notch on the belt there he can use in part to run for president of the United States in 2028. Hi, I'm J.D. Vance. Remember when we arrested so-and-so in California for Medicare fraud? Elect me as president, and I'll clean the corruption out of this government. Chris, go ahead and write that down. I believe the ads have already been written. Elect me, J.D. Vance, and I'll stop these crooks from stealing from you. You think that's powerful? It's very powerful, especially for a people who feel like they've been ripped off all the time. All right? We still have an hour. We'll have fun.